Last week we went through Revelation chapter 5, and we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ took the book, and that book was a title deed to the universe. And that book had seven seals on it. And here in Revelation chapter 6, he's going to open those seals. And that's what he's going to do. Now you've got to remember something, that the next thing to happen in God's calendar of events is the church, the body of Christ, is going to be cut off the earth. That's the next thing to happen. And what we're talking about here is something that you say, well, why are you even messing with that? We're not going to be here. Well, you should know the Bible. You should be able to answer any question that anybody ever asked you. And believe you me, what they ask you is about the book of Revelation. They won't know that stuff, because most of them think they're going to be there. So, the next thing to happen, the body of Christ cut off the earth to meet the Lord in the air. Then you got a time period. I don't know where it is, and I don't know how long it is, but there's a possibility that there's a time period between the rapture of the church and the first seal being opened. Because the tribulation period, the prophecy of Daniel's 70th week, does not happen, it does not start until the Antichrist rides in. So there's a possibility of a gap that between the rapture and the time the Antichrist rides in. I don't know. That's a possibility. So he's going to open the first seal. And when he opens the first seal, there's a guy rides in on a white horse. Now, you got four horses that we're going to deal with. Now, they're different colored horses. But the guy that's on those horses is the same guy. You got the same rider on four different horses. Now, the very first verse here, we read that this is where it happens at. When I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth to conquer and to conquer, conquering and to conquer. The first seal opens, here comes the Antichrist. And he's on a white horse. Now, the reason why this guy's on a white horse is because Satan is a perfect imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had the Antichrist standing here and the Lord Jesus Christ standing here, not very many people could tell the difference. Because he's going to try to look like him, do everything he did, but you got to identify him. Now, if you read some of these commentaries, the all-millennials, they're going to tell you that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not. It's not. This guy has a bow, and he's going out to conquer. But he don't have any arrows. So what does that tell you? Well, here's a sign of an archer. You all ever seen that? Well, you know what he was hollering, don't you? Peace, peace. guess how he's going to do it. This guy's going to ride in on a white horse, and he goes out to conquer, but he's doing it through a peace program. This guy, in the Bible, it says his words are smoother than butter. I mean, this guy is better than Benny Hinn ever thought about being. I mean, he could convince you that he's the one. And literally, that's what he does to the nation of Israel. He convinces them that he is the Christ. By the way, while I'm at this, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's one miracle that the Satan hasn't done yet. But he's going to do it right here. And that's the resurrection. So what I'm telling you is that the Antichrist is not going to be born. Get that out of your head. This guy is going to be resurrected. And guess where he's going to come from? He's going to be resurrected out of the bottomless pit. That's where he's coming from. Now, we'll get into that when we get over in Revelation 17, Revelation 9. He's going to be resurrected right out of the bottomless pit. That's who this guy is. He is the second part of the unholy Godhead, if you want to look at it that way. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Satan's got that also. He's got Satan the Father, the Antichrist the Son, and then he's got the false prophet, the Spirit. And we'll look at that as we get on through here. So, here we go. We got him riding in on a white horse. This guy has got a crown, one crown given to him. Okay? Now, when you compare that to Revelation 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, in Revelation 19, and it starts in verse 11, and it says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. And on his head are many crowns. See the difference? And he's got one that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Antichrist, you can identify this guy. So, and he's coming to judge and make war. You see the comparison here of what's going on? So there's a comparison. He has a sharp two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth in Revelation 19. And he's coming to judge and make war. This guy is going out to conquer. So the comparison is there. And he's trying to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first seal. So, and by the way, I told you this, I think, but this is the start of the tribulation period. When he rides in on the horse, the tribulation or 7 years of Daniel's 70th week starts. Now remember what I told you, that he's an imitator. Let me just give you a few examples real quick. The Lord Jesus Christ has a city. He has a city that's a bride. Revelation 21. Satan has a city that's a bride. Revelation 17. You can look this stuff up. Jesus is the light of the world. John 8 and verse 12. Satan is the angel of light. Jesus is King of Kings. Satan is king over all the children of pride, Job 41, verse 34. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Satan is called the Prince and Power of the Air, Ephesians 2:2. Jesus is called my Lord and my God, John 20:28. Satan is called the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. Satan is called a lion, 1 Peter 5:8. Do you see how he compares there in the scripture? If you don't know what you're looking for, you can be easily deceived. And you've got to see that that's what he's going to do. He's going to deceive the whole world. Revelation 6:3. And when he had opened the second seal, I hear this second beast say, come and see. You remember what we read there in chapter 4? The second beast is described as a calf. He tells John to come and see what's going to happen when the second seal is opened. So I told you about the horses being different colors, but the rider being different. The rider being the same, excuse me. So Revelation 6:4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So the color of blood, of course, is red. And this guy is going to go out with a great sword, and he is going to take peace from the earth. And he's going to cause war. In Matthew 24 and verse 7, this is a prophecy about the same thing. And it says, for a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. When I first started going to church, I noticed that these people are saying that Matthew 24, that's talking about us. How we had wars and rumors of wars. Yeah. Has people starved to death? Yes. But Matthew 24 is a prophecy about the tribulation period. It's not a prophecy about this time we're living in. And the problem we got is this. Today, when we have war, we've been having war not only out of this country, but in other countries for a long time. In fact, if you check up on it, it's probably about every 10 years they have another. But what I'm saying is, when people see, like the war we're having now in the Far East, what's the first thing they're going to say? See there? The end of time is coming. Well, that's not true. Why didn't it come when we had World War I? Why didn't the end of time come when we had World War II? What about the Korean War, the Vietnam War? And what I'm telling you is, as long as the church is on the earth, you can have war every day. We can all starve to death. We can be bombed out completely. But as long as the church is on the earth, that is not a sign of the tribulation period. It's not a sign. We're not sign seekers. If this building fell in an earthquake, the only thing that they could do is just come down here and fill up the hole. It wouldn't be a sign that the end of the world is coming. So don't get hooked up on newspapers, and don't get hooked up on people telling you that, oh, if this happens and that happens, why, it's a sign that the end of the world is coming. I can tell you for a surety, according to the Scripture, that this earth will be here for 1,007 years. If the Lord Jesus Christ showed in the sky today to take the church out, I'm not going to be here, but the earth is going to be here for 1,007 years. I know that because that's what the Bible says. Now, do I know exact time the rapture is going to take place? No. That's a secret. Nobody knows that. But you can definitely tell when that white horse rider rides in. You can tell how long that's going to be. The Bible says it's 7 years. And then the Lord's coming back. So you got the red horse rider. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the fourth beast saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil or the wine. So, in that day, when John's writing this, now, when it says a penny, they tell me that a Roman soldier made a penny a day. So, basically, it's based upon the count of money that they had then. It's not talking about our penny. Our penny probably won't be worth anything pretty soon. In fact, it cost them about 5 cents to make one. So you can figure that out, how long we're going to have pennies. Not much longer. But a penny a day was what the Roman soldier was paid. And here we're talking about what they had to do. They had to work a whole day to get a measure of wheat and a measure of barley. Now, if you figure this thing out, I may be wrong, I may be right. Barley was about 2 pints. And that's what they could buy, and that's what they had to eat. And this was famine. See, when you have war, what do you have? You have famine. There's nothing to eat. Everything is tore up. And that's what this black horse rider does. This black horse rider comes in with a balance to measure this stuff out. And it says, don't hurt the... What is it? Don't hurt the... the wine and the oil. Well, who's got access to the wine and the oil during this time? Well, see, it's no different in that time than it is our time. Who's got all the money now? Well, the rich people do. The oil barons, they got it all. Well, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to share it with you? Well, no, they just want what you got. So, what are they going to do? These guys are persecuting the poor. See, that's the way it's always been. But here in this period of time, and what you got to realize is that don't get the idea that this 7-year period, the only part of it that's really bad is the last 3.5 years, because that's not true. It starts when the guy rides in. and he convinces the nation of Israel that he's the Christ. And what do? They follow him and they go out to conquer, to take control of other nations. And he uses that little nation to do that. So that's what's going to happen there. Verse 7. When he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the field, a beast of the earth. Who is this guy? This is the. This guy's got a name. You know what his name is? His name is Death. And hell followed him. If you compare that to Revelation 1:18, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? You see the reverse there in verse 18? Let me read that to you. It says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys to hell and of death." You see how those things are reversed? The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can get you out of hell. He'll keep you from going there. But this guy up here, well, his name is what? Death and hell. There's the difference, see? This guy has the power of death. He's a death angel. 1 Corinthians 10:10, I'll give you this verse. "Neither murmur ye as some of them that also murmur and were destroyed by the destroyer." Well, what's Paul talking about? Well, back in Exodus, they had to put the blood over the doorpost and on each side. And if they didn't do that, he is called the destroyer. He came through and he killed those people. He had the power of death. And that's who this guy is. He had the power of death. This is a pale horse rider. That's the four horsemen. That's what's going on there. All right, Revelation 6 and verse 9. "And when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, does I not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So, who are these guys? Well, let me read you a verse here in Revelation 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So that's who these guys are. These guys are the ones that didn't take the mark of the beast. Now, that's who they are. They're in heaven, and they're under the altar in heaven, and they are crying, "How long, O Lord, before you bring judgment upon the earth. So what are they told? They said, wait a little season and we'll take care of that. In a little season here, we're talking about the end of the tribulation period. So that's who these guys are. Revelation 6 and verse 12. I beheld, and when he'd opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So what God does here, let me give you this verse here. Ezekiel 32 and verse 7. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heavens and make the stars dark. And I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. And basically that's what he does here. What does he do? He covers the sun, and the moon will not give its light. So what does it say there? And the moon became as blood. Now when you look at that, it says as blood. It does not say that it is blood. So the moon's not going to give its light, but when you see it, it's going to look like blood. And that's because the sunlight is not reaching the moon. The only way the moon shines is the sun reflects off of it. So he's going to cover the sun. And he says he does that with a cloud. Back when St. Helens, I think it was, erupted, they tell me that they couldn't see the sun. It was dark. Revelation 6 and verse 13, if you study on down through the chapter, you'll see that, and I hope I can get this across to you, when most people teach the, and this includes me, and I, like I said, I've been trying to rewrite my little notes on this, and what I always thought was just like everybody else. I thought that this was talking about the second coming. But it's not. So I'll give you that much. It's not talking about the second coming.